It's challenging, I think, as a school committee member. I think the best thing that you can do is be accessible. I think that you need to be out in the community, actively seeking engagement with the people. And sometimes just being heard will help some of these issues. Because I think that in my interactions with families and my own experiences, oftentimes when you run into that fortress mentality or being told that you or your community are outliers, or that, you know, this is not a systemic problem, this is a sort of a one-off thing, that feeds into that disengagement. A lot of building community, a lot of civic engagement stems from feeling like you are being heard and that you are having an impact. And I think that we need to, as school committee members, you need to actively seek out your constituents. You need to be open to even people that didn't vote for you. You need to get out into your different groups and make sure that they are also being heard and represented on the school committee. In terms of active policies, however, it's challenging because a school system is a large system. It's a slow-moving, slow-changing organization. And it's difficult to implement real change that quickly. And so while I want to be out in the community and listen, I also have to be honest with my feelings about, like, how am I as one person of a 7-member board going to implement systemic change? And the answer is slowly.
So one of the problems with slowly is that you're also serving a 2-year term.
I totally agree.
And as a result of that, in many ways, slowly is the right answer around schools, but when you have a rotating body, that often means that change simply doesn't happen. So I'm curious, why did you say that these are not the prerogative of a school committee? It seems like this is central to school policy, which is exactly school committee domain.
I don't feel that it's not the prerogative. I guess I felt that my role as a, if I'm elected, if, as a as one member of a 7-member body implementing school policy, I think my individual impact is going to be lessened.
Of course.
And so that's my sense. I don't think it's not the prerogative of a school committee.
But you can describe things as you'd like to say. You know, okay. It's about building consensus.
Yeah.
And obviously, many school committee members have wanted to do things where they couldn't build that consensus. But I think the key question that people will have is, what are you trying to build consensus around? What are the changes you would like to see, assuming everybody else gets on board?
Okay. I think because my attitude is that I'm not guaranteed a second term, and I can't think about, you know, worrying about my electability, that I am going to be heavily motivated to work with other school committee members. And I think that one of the biggest things that I see a need for is improving district-wide communication. I think that we have to be transparent in our, you know, in our negotiations with the teachers. We have to be transparent in how we handle disruptions at the class, at the classroom level. I think we have to be honest and upfront with how we deal with outplacement and IEP discussions and negotiations. And I think that where possible, you have to implement policies that make that system more effective and more efficient. And I think that, you know, like, there is some potential for school committee to have impact in that. It's just a question of whether the district will then implement those policies on a consistent level. And I think part of the challenge is designing these in a way that you want to design the system to be robust enough that it encourages people to sort of accurately respond and communicate, and as well as create a way that makes it harder to hide things if they are inclined to hide things.
I see. So I think I'll go issue by issue. I've done this with a minority of candidates, but I think in this context it makes sense. Should parents have an affirmative right to inspect their students' digital records entirely across the board? So if there are emails about my students versus high-level ones like interim and summative assessments versus summary with formative assessments versus not at all. By affirmative, I mean I log onto a website and do this as opposed to file a FERPA request if I know that FERPA exists and go through processes like that.
Yes, I believe that parents should have an affirmative right to see their students' digital records, and I think that that's pretty reasonable. I think that the aside to that is, does that mean that school communications from teacher to teacher become less useful, right? Is there concern that if those evaluations are wholly public in that way, that they will not necessarily be as open and as forthright in their evaluations? And I there is a part of me that is still mulling over these issues, because when you try and sort of legislate common sense, sometimes you end up with less than the optimal result. And I feel like while I am perfectly in favor of like open access, there's a part of me that has witnessed these type of programs be implemented in a corporate scenario where it means that then that level of communication that is happening is done at such a sort of distant professional level that you lose a lot of the value of that communication.
Mm-hmm. So what about curricular materials? Should those be available to parents proactively? I step into a library or go to an online portal?
I think that that's a reasonable ask. Again, I'm married to a teacher. I think the challenge with these very specific level demands are that, and it may not come up if you're not married or a teacher or have experience in teaching, the curriculum changes.
Yes.
Pretty readily. And are you imposing such a high standard of that curriculum transparency that it impacts what the teacher is trying to accomplish? I think that in a sort of a general sweeping sense, curriculum should be open. And I think that most of the teachers are certainly welcome to that. But if for whatever reason, because a class has found something particularly fascinating to study, or the climate strike comes up, and you've built a brand new curriculum that day, is our demand that that curriculum has to be posted immediately? Right? Like how?
Yeah, I mean, there's details.
How far-reaching do you want to make this? But I think in general, I believe a lot of teachers would be in favor of just being open with the curriculum, as long as you are respectful of the process of, how much curriculum is being generated on a day-to-day basis.
What about school governance? What roles should school councils play?
I am really confused in Cambridge by the split of school council and the various friends of organizations. And I don't mean confused as to not understanding what their role are, but I grew up, again, in a system that had one centralized PTA, and that sort of covered everything. And so as a member of that community, you knew where to go. And I've been the treasurer for Friends of Baldwin for 2.5 years, and I was a member before that, and I look forward to being involved in the Friends of Ringe Avenue or Families of Ringe Avenue organization. And then there's the school council or the site council or site committee, or I think they have various names at each building. And it's not entirely clear what you're trying to accomplish. You're talking to some degree about policy, but it's oftentimes a principal-led meeting with some elements that have been brought forward by parents at previous meetings, but it's not clear what you can achieve at those various site council or school committee, inside that school council organization. I would like to see more parent engagement, but I would also like to see some way of converting that engagement into actionable items. And I'd like to I would like for those various school councils to actively seek out parents and try to be that body sort of more familiar to the old PTA model, where if you have a challenge or an issue, you bring it forth to that body, and then they have mechanics in place to push that issue forward. and involving school committee members, involving the superintendent, whatever high-level access that you need, that body should have. But I think that the way that we have sort of arbitrarily split those organizations within Cambridge Public Schools leads to a lot of disenfranchisement. You have parents, especially young parents that are JKK first grade, have no idea where to go. And they, there's a sort of a communication barrier in terms of how do you know which meeting to go to, which meeting is going to be of value to you. And, you know, in some of the cases, some of these meetings are really long and it's hard to ascertain, like, is this going to be a useful, is this going to be a useful way for me to spend my time? And so I'd like to see those site councils become more integrated into the school decision-making process. I'd like to see more access. And I think that the model exists. I mean, I think I was just at an OLA community meeting. And I mean, we had 30 people there. People are really engaged. Now, OLA is a sort of a standalone body in a building. But the level of parent engagement is fantastic to see. And I think that you want to capture that energy. And they were very efficient about how they ran their meetings. And I think that you need to have that same accountability and actionability from those meetings in order to get parent engagement.